Today I'll be reading from Proverbs 4, 20 to 27. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path before your feet, and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Orthener, and I'm in the youth here at church. My parents are Tim and Patricia, if that helps you. Now, I'm going to start off by saying that I have an amazing mother, and I love her very much. And I'm also supposed to say that I wasn't told to say that. Now, you might be thinking, what does that passage have to do with Mother's Day? I'm going to tell you right now, absolutely nothing. I've been told that sometimes on Mother's Day, a Mother's Day sermon isn't always what you want to hear. Maybe you're missing your mother, maybe a mother's missing someone, and it's not always the most helpful thing. And I've had this passage on my heart for some time, and I felt God pushing me to share it with you guys, so that's what I'm going to do today. Verse 23 in NSRV translates to keep your heart with all vigilance. Now, the word vigilance, or being vigilant, means keeping careful watch for possible danger. So we would therefore be constantly on alert as to the welfare of our heart. And the phrase keep is a military term, meaning to literally guard from danger. The NIV translates above all else. The importance of this alertness and vigilance cannot be doubted. It ranks in high importance above all other things. Now the Bible clearly puts high priority on this concept of guarding our hearts. Verse 23 in the NRSV continues, "For everything you do flows from it." In other words, the heart guides the outcome of your life, or as the NLT puts it, "For it determines the course of your life. Where your heart is, the rest is going to follow." This entire force behind all of our actions, decisions, and words. The state of our heart dictates our lives. Now, the entire book of Proverbs focuses on strengthening different areas of our life, and in this case, it's our heart. When Solomon talks about the heart, it isn't the muscle in our chest or even just that feeling that we're supposed to listen to sometimes. It's our entire center. That which drives us as a person and takes in our emotions, our desires, our passions, and our motivations. It's our whole inner being. And if we need to be so reminded about guarding our hearts, then it's plausible that our hearts are in their natural state unguarded, and that having an unguarded heart is going to bring us problems. Now, this would mean that our heart is open to attacks from various opponents. We could also look at this passage in a different way. If we notice that we have reoccurring problems and failures or temptations in a certain area, then from this we might come to the conclusion that our hearts are not exactly fully guarded. The unguarded heart would allow all sorts of disruptive, useless, and harmful stuff to corrupt our lives and compromise our decision-making. So how do we do it? How do we guard our hearts? The verses that precede verse 23 talk about God's wisdom and the importance of meditating on the teaching of God and how we should live. Those living on earth before Jesus only had the Old Testament scriptures available to them. We're a little better off. We have the New Testament as well, the conclusion to the story, which teaches the importance and the implications of following Jesus. So we can say that at least one principle of guarding your heart is staying attentive to God's word. And while we're in the process of being attentive, we aren't supposed to let his teachings escape us. We have to hang on to it tightly and with a firm grasp. We won't let the truth go from us, and we are to let God's teachings penetrate us deeply. So deeply, in fact, that it becomes part of who we are and part of our identity. Way too often, we let our sin and our choices decide who we are and become part of our identity. But as a child of God, and a citizen of God's kingdom, your identity is in God. Having God's word as a part of who we are is certainly a part to guarding our hearts from danger. These are words that can bring healing to those parts of our life that are damaged. These are words that can bring comfort to those parts of our life in hurting. These are words that can bring liberation to those parts of our life in chains. These are words that can bring transformation to those parts of our lives that are broken. The words and touch of Jesus actually brought literal healing, liberation, and transformation. Just look at all of the miracles he performed. He brought sight to the blind, health to the sick, and life to the dead. If the words of Jesus can do all that, they can certainly help guard your heart. Prayer always has been and always will be our greatest asset here. Prayer is such a powerful force, and being attentive to what God is telling you is such an intimate thing that just by talking to God, we can start to guard our hearts. The verses that follow 23 talk about our lips and our mouths. So the next principle of guarding our heart is to be disciplined about what we think and about what we say. Of course, we need to stop ourselves from saying things that hurt, offend, or are untrue in nature. We need to stop ourselves from engaging in hurtful gossip, as well as using any put-downs or derogatory language. This behavior not only hurts others, but it also really hurts ourselves. Sometimes we use the excuse that things just slip out, but is that really any excuse? If we're talking about going deeper and guarding our heart, the firm answer is no. It's our thinking that lies behind how we speak. In some cases, this derives from our conceited desires, maybe our things like our selfish ambitions. So you could say that this problem is often really just a lack of thinking, or maybe more so just our thoughtlessness towards others. This lack of thinking about the needs of others often happens as we are faced by people who are very different to us. We can sometimes, without thinking, assign mental labels to people and often open our mouths with very unfortunate outcomes. We need to think in appropriate ways so that, as a result, we can speak in helpful and God-honoring ways. For example, if I begin to think of someone as a dangerous-looking person, I'm very more likely to speak about them in those terms, without even knowing about them at all. However, if I can just reserve my judgment a little bit and see them as a beloved child of God, then I would likely speak about them very differently. One time, when our youth sent a team up to the SOAR missions trip in Saskatoon, we were sent downtown on a city tour. One of our instructions was to use $10 to make a difference. Being close to Valentine's Day, some members of our small group bought chocolate bars and others wrote notes that we were to hand out to people. So I'm in downtown Saskatoon, and I actually have to go talk to somebody. That took a little bit of courage, but it was also one of the first instances to teach me to see everyone as a child of God. Our motivations lead our thoughts towards our words and our actions. If we can align our motivations, attitudes, and priorities to the motivations, attitude, and priorities of God, then our thinking will lead to words of encouragement, and our hearts will become more guarded from negative outside influences. The next principle of guarding our hearts is looking towards the future. There is the obvious implication here in verse 25 that what you look at with your eyes affects your brain and can never be erased. One thing we can take from this never look left or right. You know, only watch good TV, only read good books, all the stuff like that. But there's also this concept of being able to keep your head up, free of guilt and free of shame, because of the liberating forgiveness that we have been given. Unfortunately, some people have a hard time really believing this is true. For me personally, I would rather wallow in self-pity than dust off my hands and get back up. But with the incredible forgiveness of Jesus Christ, I'm able to do just that. It's the concept of what lies behind you in terms of behavior and lifestyle. Those things that you have corrected through your relationship with Jesus, or maybe you are still correcting, and your understanding of God's word, staying behind you. What's in the past stays in the past. Your vision is now on what lies ahead, and what's in God's future for you. And I don't want you to be confused. This isn't about just forgetting what's happened in the past. It's about letting Jesus carry your shame, because you don't need to. He's forgiven you. You're free, so keep your head up. I'm 17, and I definitely don't have too much of a past. But I'm sure this applies to some of you, and I know it definitely will apply to me in the future. And the fourth principle for guarding our hearts from this passage is to walk in a straight line. There's an obvious implication here about the choices we make in where we go and where we spend our time. Going with the flow, sometimes just being blown along with the breeze without much criticism of our activities, is doing much more following the crowd than leading the flock. Failing to notice that we don't stand out or stand for anything at all, really. All of this keeps us off the straight path and onto many detours. Sometimes, our internal GPS is set to the easiest route. I especially need to address this. Look at my map carefully before I pull out my car out of the driveway. This is generally about setting our mind on a course of discipleship, following Jesus, and sticking to it no matter what life throws at us, or whatever temptation might come our way. Following Jesus is the goal and should be the only goal in which we should walk through our lives. This involves some careful planning, consideration, and execution of your actions. Part of being a citizen of heaven and a member of the kingdom of God will be that attitude of holding on very lightly to your material possessions and holding on to things of this earth very loosely in general. In that way, we're not going to be unnecessarily distracted or held back from where God is directing us to go and what God is directing us to do. It's God's word that we're to hold on to as tightly as we can. And as for the rest of the world, well, tread light and hold loose. We can also practice having the presence of God in our lives, which makes the decision-making process a whole lot easier. Practicing this simply involves regularly reminding yourself that God is with you. I'm writing my math test, and yes, God is with me. I'm standing up in front of 100 people and talking, and yes, God is with me. I'm out and about shopping, running some errands, and yes, God is with me. I'm cruising in my car, yes, God is with me. I'm suffering pain and confusion, and yes, God is still with me. I'm worshiping God with everything I have, and yes, most certainly, yes, God is with me. All of these examples I've given you are, of course, relevant to me, but God isn't just with me or with you for a set list of tasks. He's with you in everything and through everything, everything you do. I'd also like to point out that the examples I've given are all sound very individual, when the Christian life is meant to be collective and relational. So before I close, let me add the following. One last area of guarding our hearts is through accountability. Whether it be your spouse, maybe a mentor, a spiritual director, best friend, classmate, or a small group. This is where you can track your spiritual growth through the feedback of others. Now, it isn't always pleasant or pretty, but God doesn't promise that the Christian walk always will be. You need to be guarding your heart because you need to be prepared to hear what others see in you, weigh it up with God, and take whatever action is required. We need to learn how to accept being held accountable. So get someone. Maybe someone you care about, maybe someone who is already holding you accountable, and get them to ask you, are you staying attentive to God's word? Are you being disciplined about what you think and what you say? Are you holding your tongue in times when you should be? Are you looking forward to the future and not letting your past hold you down? Are you walking in a straight line and not veering to the left or to the right? As easy as it is to have the appearance of a bad Christian, it's just as easy to have the appearance of a good one. It's easy for me to be involved, whether in school or in church. It's easy for me to do good work. It's easy for me to sing on a worship team. It's easy for me to go to youth group. It's easy for me to preach a sermon. But am I working for the Lord, or am I just working for a university application? You might be thinking, well, what does it matter? You're doing all the right things anyway. But when it comes down to the state of your heart, the state of your unguarded heart, it matters a lot. And that's why accountability is so important. It goes deeper than appearance. That's also why accountability gets so uncomfortable, because it goes deeper than appearance. What's always crucial here is, of course, you know, regularly attending service, participation in the church community, and the practice of serving others. The best functioning church community will never be one that goes for the appearance management method, pretending to be what it's not. It doesn't really matter what the music sounds like. It doesn't really matter who sings on the worship team, or how bright the lights are, or how good the sound is. The best functioning church community will be the one based on honesty, the one based on humility, and the one based on the servant spirit. And that community is one full of strong Christians with a passion for Jesus and a guarded heart. And that's the kind of Christian I'm striving to be. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity and keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to the left or the light or the right. Keep your foot from evil. Now it's Mother's Day, and I know lots of you have places to be. So I could keep going for another half an hour, but I'm going to let you go. So I'll pass it off to Pastor Nick to come and close.
Thank you, Michael, for bringing the word to us this morning. Thank you, Elise, and those on her team. Thank you to the ushers. I'm going to call the ushers forward at this point, and we have carnations up front, and so the ushers are going to come, and they're each going to grab one, and there's going to be one set of carnations. Come on, don't be shy. Yeah, come on up as I'm talking. They're going to grab the carnations, and if you're a mom, as you're heading out the door, they're going to give you a small flower, just as a token of our thoughts with you and our prayers for you. And so you guys can go ahead and grab those and head to the back. Above all else, guard your heart. What a great passage for a young man to preach, right? The story is told of an older couple driving in a pickup down a dirt road, and all of a sudden another pickup truck goes flying by them and heads off into the distance, and it's another couple. It's a young couple. And, of course, in the pickup truck, she slid all the way over in the bench right up against the driver. And the older woman in her pickup truck looks across that wide expanse of bench between her and the driver, and she says, "Honey, do you remember when we used to sit in a pickup truck like that? Do you remember when we used to have that kind of love?" And the old farmer looks across the expanse of bench, and he says to her, "I never moved." Above everything else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. He's never going to move. We can choose to move towards him or away from him. Would you stand for the benediction, please? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor. May the Lord give you his peace. Happy Mother's Day. Go in peace.